I'll announce 2608 is on the work session. It's on for a work session today. We will not be doing anything with that bill today. So if you're here for that particular reason, goodbye. We'll see you another day. I can't even give you a good idea of when that day will be, to be honest.
Can I have a refund on my parking?
You can introduce the bill.
Don't even say
that. I'm not going there. So we'll open a public hearing on 76A, and Patrick, give us an idea of what the bill does.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 76A allows any parent or legal guardian of a person under the age of 18 to request cancellation of driving privileges for that person. It eliminates signatory authority of an employer for purposes of making a person under 18 eligible for driving privileges.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Robin?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Oregon law requires that a person under the age of 18 have their mother, father, or guardian sign the application for a driver's license or permit prior to DMV issuing. If the teen does not have parents or a guardian, the teenager's employer has the authority to sign the application. Current law also allows the parent, guardian, or employer that signed the original application for a driver's license or permit the authority to contact DMV and withdraw their consent. Senate Bill 76A in gross clarifies it is the legal guardian who can give or withdraw consent for driving privileges. It also repeals the provisions for an employer to give or withdraw consent for driving privileges to a person under the age of 18 if the person does not have parents or a legal guardian. The change to legal guardian will allow DMV to change their application form to define guardian as a person appointed by the court as guardian or given guardianship by statute. A person assigns a driver's license application form authorizing driving privileges to a person under the age of 18 will attest to this designation of authority. The change to repeal the employer provision removes an outdated concept that originated in 1931 during the Great Depression, it was fairly common for a young person to be under the control of their parent, under the control of an employer rather than their parent. I ask the committee to support Senate Bill 76A engrossed. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Questions? No? Thanks again.
Thank you.
Anyone else to testify on Senate Bill 76? Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 76. Open a work session on Senate Bill 76. Representative Hunt.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 76A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hunt moves Senate Bill 76 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Come on, you two. Mike?
Representative
Byer?
Aye.
Representative Boone? Oh, excused.
Representative
Dillon?
Aye.
Representative Burley?
Aye.
Representative Hunt?
Aye.
Representative
Thatcher?
Aye.
Chair Gilman?
Aye.
Motion
carries and consent?
Yeah.
So moved. Representative Hunt moves Senate Bill 76 be placed on the consent agenda. Discussion? Opposition? So ordered. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 78. Patrick?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 78 requires drivers to submit certain accident reports to the Department of Transportation. The bill had a Senate vote of 23-5. Revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact.
Thank you. And Robin again.
Good afternoon, Chair Gilman, members of the committee, Robin Freeman, Oregon Department of Transportation. The department requested this bill to improve customer service and reduce workload for law enforcement and the department. Oregon's accident reporting law requires drivers involved in a crash or collision to file an accident report with DMV if certain criteria are met. DMV enforces mandatory accident reporting and insurance requirements of vehicle owners and drivers. Individuals failing to comply with these laws face license suspension. Senate Bill 78 requires the public to submit all accident reports directly to the department, either at a local DMV office or through the mail. Current law allows citizens to submit accident reports either to the department or to a local law enforcement agency in the city or county where the accident occurred. The untimely filing of an accident report can result in a driving privilege suspension by the department. Consequently, the most direct route to reporting an accident is to send the report form to DMV. Law enforcement merely acts as a conduit and sends the reports to DMV as time permits. Delays are inevitable. The bill reduces workload for law enforcement agencies and the department by streamlining the reporting process. It also improves customer service by avoiding inappropriate suspensions of driving privileges arising from delayed accident reports. The bill saves the public time and reduces frustration by eliminating the need to resubmit an accident report or pay the $75 reinstatement fee. We ask the committee to support Senate Bill 78. We think it streamlines the accident reporting process by directly routing reports to the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Questions? Representative Fung.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could just ask you one question that we've already had this conversation, I just want to get on the record. In line 9 of the bill, am I correct in interpreting the word submit as meaning the actual act of mailing it or the act of turning it in? So as long as the person completes their action within the 72 hours, they have completed. They're in compliance with the law.
Chair Gilman, Representative Hunt, yes, that's correct.
Further questions? Nope. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you. Anyone
else testify on Senate Bill 78? Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 78 and the work session on Senate Bill 78.
Mr. Chair? I move Senate Bill 78 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Thatcher moves Senate Bill 78 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Mike?
Representative Boone?
Excused.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Bruin?
Aye.
Representative Hunt?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Beyer?
Aye.
Chair Gilman?
Oh.
Aye.
Motion carries. I've got the order here. We had some no votes on the Senate side. Representative Thatcher, are you up to carrying this on the floor?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Okay, open the public hearing on Senate Bill 101. Patrick?
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 101 authorizes claims for relief against the Department of Transportation in cases where a grandfathered approach road is closed by the department. It would apply only to approach roads that are closed after the effective date of the measure, which I believe would be January 1st of next year. Senate vote was 26-0. There's no written impact and attached to your in the packet as the fiscal impact that was issued for Senate Bill 101. Was on the Senate side.
Okay. John Zoffley.
Thanks.
Welcome, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm John Jackley with the Highway Division at the Oregon Department of Transportation. Senate Bill 101 is a bill sponsored by the department, and we saw it as an opportunity to provide fairness to property owners and taxpayers. Back in 1949, the legislature gave ODOT the authority to control access to the state highways. And in 1999, the legislature passed Senate Bill 86, which allowed the department to provide administrative remedies to property owners if they had a driveway closed by the department. The problem is that under that bill, only driveways that had a post-1949 permit could do this. So if you had a driveway that had existed prior to 1949 and it was legal, And if it got closed, you wouldn't have this administrative remedy that was available to property owners that had legal permits. We think that this bill provides fairness and equities by providing owners of property that have these pre-1949 legal accesses the same kind of relief that's available to everybody else. It would allow us to treat all classes of legal accesses fairly and consistently, and we'd respectfully request your support for the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? No? Good.
Thank you.
Anyone else to testify on Senate Bill 101? Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 101 and open the work session on 101.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
That's all right. There should be plenty for everybody.
Senate Bill 101 to the House floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Hunt moves Senate Bill 101 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Mike?
Representative Burley?
Aye.
Representative Burke?
Aye.
Representative Hunt?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Bloom?
Excused.
Chair Gilman?
Aye. Motion carries, and I think this one can go on the consent calendar.
So moved.
All right. Representative Burley moves to place Senate Bill 101 on the consent calendar. Any discussion? Any objection? No order. A public hearing on Senate Bill 102. Patrick?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 102. Authorizes the Department of Transportation to convey interests in real property to a landowner whose property loses access as a result of department action. This measure has a fiscal impact statement as well attached to in your testimony packet. Also in your packet are the -A2 amendments, which staff received today. They simply rewrite lines 6 and 7. Of the existing bill.
Thank you. And John, you're up again.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Jackley with the Highway Division at the Oregon Department of Transportation. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this afternoon. Senate Bill 102 is another bill that the department asked to be introduced, and we feel that it also helps property owners and taxpayers. We currently now, when a property is landlocked by an ODOT construction project, which is the usual reason, we currently are required by Oregon law to provide alternate access for that property owner. You can't landlock them or cut them off from the state highway. So right now we have two options. We can either purchase the property outright, which sometimes happens, or we can acquire an easement through a neighbor's property. If we require that easement through the neighbor's property, and again, we have the authority to do this today, we have to build it to public road standards. That's at least 32 feet wide. It's got curbs. It's got gutters. It's got sidewalks. It has a lot of expensive things like that. What Senate Bill 102 would allow us to do is a little bit different. It doesn't expand the power of eminent domain any. We currently have that power to take an easement through a neighbor's property, but it would allow us to convey that easement to the property owner that lost the access, and because it would be transferred to private ownership, we could build it to what we call driveway standards, which is a road that's roughly 16 feet wide, and in a rural area could even be a gravel road if it was commensurate with the use that's already going on. We have run into several unfortunate cases in the last couple of years. One of them was out in Ontario, where two properties were landlocked by a construction project. One was a single-family residence, and one was a small mobile home court. We negotiated with a third property owner, but the owner would not voluntarily agree. Because there wasn't room for a public road, there would have been room for this kind of Senate Bill 102 remedy if we'd had it, but there wasn't room for a full-blown public road. So we had to displace the single-family resident. We had to displace several residents of the mobile home park, and ODOT ended up spending about $160,000 on that. If we'd had the Senate Bill 102 opportunity, we could have avoided, A, the cost to the taxpayers that we had to acquire this property, and perhaps at least as important, we wouldn't have had to displace those families. We felt that this gives us one more option to help taxpayers and property owners. Again, because Oregon law gives us the power of eminent domain really narrowly, you can't expand it, you can't extrapolate it. It can only be for real specific purposes. We currently, again, have that authority to acquire access through a neighbor's property and build a public road. What we don't have the authority to is acquire it and then convey it to a private owner and build it to driveway standards. Just in summary, we looked at, again, some of our cases and some of the instances where this opportunity would have been real useful, particularly in rural central and eastern Oregon. And we think it's a good tool to help us get the construction program built, but at the same time give property owners as many options as possible for us to be fair to them. We could not require the person losing access to take the Senate Bill 102 option, but it would be available if they were willing, and we'd respectfully request your support for the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could we ask him to speak to the dash twos? Have you seen the dash twos?
Mm-hmm.
Perspective on the dash twos.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hunt, we saw the dash twos today, and at first glance, it doesn't seem to be feasible. I've not spoken with the author of them, but the dash twos don't seem to recognize that we currently have this authority already. We don't have the authority to acquire it and convey it to a private owner. But we're still looking at them, but at first glance, they don't seem to work.
Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Mark Whitlow.
And John Chandler, sir.
Welcome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association, here in something between opposition and neutrality to Senate Bill 102A. It came as quite a shock to a number of us that ODOT had the authority to condemn the next parcel over in these situations. When we first looked at the bill, we'd missed it in the Senate. Frankly, we apologize to the committee for not having dealt with this issue there. Having said that, we do have some concerns, and I've talked with ODOT's folks about those, how this power would be exercised. I understand now better what they're trying to do with this bill. From a residential standpoint, the stories they've mentioned about the trailer park and the single-family residence, having the right to build a driveway may be just fine. I'm not so sure that same logic applies to a commercial or an industrial piece of property. I'm not sure they've encountered that. In any event, we are going to be talking with them a little further. I wanted to place our concerns on the record as to how this bill might be actually implemented. I recognize the MoDOT's trying to do the right thing here, so it seems somewhat rude of us to squawk at them under those circumstances. But we do want to have further conversations with the chairs and the committee's indulgence to see if we can't either get some additional clarity as to the intention of the bill, how it'll play out on the ground, and perhaps some amendment language that will address some of those operative concerns, particularly for the commercial side. I just wanted to place that in front of you, Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, by way of prelude to Mr. Whitlow, who was far smarter about this stuff than I. which is not setting the bar all that high. Thank you for the backhanded compliment, Mr. Chandler. Hi, I'm Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mark Whitlow. I'm an attorney with Perkins Coie in Portland. I'm a frequent spokesperson for the Retail Task Force, which is a business coalition that is interested in all things retail, if you would. In that capacity, I served on ODOT's appointed committee called AMAC, the Access Management Advisory Committee, in all of its iterations. It went on for a few years, and we came up with the access permitting rules, Division 51 administrative rules that work under the Oregon Highway Plan, and we worked through a few amendments of the Highway Plan. So we've spent a lot of time talking about access to property, mostly in a permitting context, and mostly in a commercial context from my perspective. But I want to start off by agreeing with John. We want to be polite. I mean, we have a good working relationship with ODOT. This bill didn't come to our attention. We're sort of late getting here. And we're in favor of things that promote flexibility and avoid unintended consequences. But because we're new to look at this, we're not sure that they're providing a solution to one unintended consequence. We're not creating another one. And so I've got three points I just want to lay out. I'm not sure of the statutory underpinning that gives ODOT the entitlement to condemn next door as it sets. And this bill doesn't say where it's going to plug in. It doesn't cite to a statute, so I'm not sure where they're going with it. But all things eminent domain or by way of condemnation have to be for public use and public necessity, and that's in ORS Chapter 35. So just, snapping your finger on some other page and saying, well, in this case, it doesn't have to be for a public use or public necessity, I'm not sure that gets there. It's the public standard that's been the hurdle in the roadblock, and using condemnation in whatever context. So I just raise the question, does this really do the job? And then if it does, what are the implications? If we're trying to save money by not landlocking parcel one, if you would, then you start a fight on parcel two to provide that missing access to parcel one. Parcel two already has access, but when you look at the permitting rules, as ODOT would, then they're going to say, well, you need to share your access. We're going to minimize the points of access to the highway, and so you would have to, on parcel two, share your point of access with parcel one, which is probably going to require realigning or changing the location of where parcel 2 has its existing access, which is probably going to upset parcel 2 if it's in a commercial business. So, you're trying to save money on parcel 1. Suddenly you've started a fight on parcel 2. My suspicion is that anything you save on 1, you're going to spend on 2, plus the administrative costs are going to double up. You'll have two lawyers, two sets of appraisers, two condemnation cases. My fear is it's not really going to save any money. It could cost some. But let's talk about how we could work through this. In permitting, we have a statute under 374 that defines what reasonable access is, again, in a permitting context. And it says, basically, it's got to be sufficient to allow the authorized uses for the property identified in the acknowledged local comprehensive plan. Okay, that rule doesn't apply to condemnation. One of the things we could do is cross-tie the new access on parcel 2 to the standard of reasonableness as in a permitting, because you're creating a new approach, probably a shared approach. And if we could get in that kind of dialogue, then that's something I think we could, further think through this with ODOT to try to find if it is, in fact, workable. If it gets over that public standard, can we then work the control, if you would, what kind of access is going to be offered and given to these two property owners? And, by the way, I don't see in reading this where either Parcel 1 or Parcel 2 has a choice. If they have the right to decline this proffered access, I don't see where it says that. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Nope, I guess not.
Thank you.
Anyone else to testify on Senate Bill 102? I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 102 and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 178. Patrick?
178, was voted 26-2 on the Senate side. It allows a person to provide training or education in driving motor vehicles without a commercial training, driver training school certificate, or driver training and school instructor certificate if the person provides only limited education or training for specialized purposes.
Robin?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Robin Freeman, Oregon Department of Transportation. Oregon law requires enterprises that educate and train persons to drive motor vehicles for consideration to be certified as commercial driver training schools. Senate Bill 178 would give the department rulemaking authority to determine when a commercial driver training school certificate is not required. This bill would allow the department to exclude persons, businesses, and government agencies that provide specific types of training or education in the driving of motor vehicles. Current law exempts businesses and nonprofit agencies engaged in educating and training persons for a profession, as an example, truck driving schools, or an accredited secondary school, college, or university. However, certain other types of driver training may not warrant licensing the business or the person as a commercial driver school. This training may be very, very limited or specialized in nature or delivered infrequently. Examples may include a physical or occupational therapist who trains disabled drivers to operate vehicles outfitted with adaptive equipment. This happens in certain stroke victims often have to have this type of rehabilitation. I think currently we're seeing some of the Iraqi soldiers coming back with injuries that are they're amputees now, and so they're having to go through this type of specialized care and training. One-day classes that train people how to drive in adverse weather conditions. This is oftentimes conducted by law enforcement or counties, cities for their employees. High-speed driver training, again, that's a law enforcement training. Employee training conducted by law enforcement agencies and municipal or county governments. I know that ODOT, we have some defensive driving course that we are required to take. And computer-based training that's delivered via the Internet. This would be web-based training that would teach someone about the knowledge-based driver exams in Oregon. Historically, the department has not required these entities to obtain a license and requests rule authority to continue this practice by clarifying specific types of training that would be excluded. The department believes that certification should be required only of those individuals and businesses whose primary focus is to train persons to drive motor vehicles. A commercial driver training school certificate would not be required for individuals and businesses that conduct limited or specialized training activities. We ask the committee to support Senate Bill 178. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Questions? No questions. Representative Burley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, we're not talking about someone that provides the education or training for a first-time driver.
Chair Gilman, Representative Burley, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any anyone else to testify on Senate Bill 178? Close the public hearing on 178 and open a work session on 178. Representative Burley.
I move that we report Senate Bill 178 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative moves Senate Bill 178 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Mike.
Representative Burley.
Aye.
Representative Hunt.
Aye.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Byer.
Aye.
Representative Bloom.
Excuse.
Representative Burley.
Aye.
Chair Gilman.
Aye. Motion carries, and I think this one could go on the consent calendar, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Representative Burley. Senate Bill 178 be placed on the consent calendar. Discussion? Opposition? So moved. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 859. Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 859 extends the sunset on the existing law that allows the Department of Transportation to charge a permit fee for utilities that use the right-of-way of a state highway. No fiscal or revenue impact to the bill, and it was sent out of the Senate on a 25-2 vote.
Good. Ted, do you want to lead off here? Oh, and Gary's going to come along.
Yeah,
perfect.
Hello. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Teddy Kaiser from Senator Joanne Berger's office, and we have Senate Bill 859. I wanted to thank you for hearing the bill today. Senator Berger had wanted to come here and testify today, but she's taken ill today, so I'm here instead. This is a simple bill to extend the sunset clause, and Gary Bauer has been the one who's taking the lead on it, so I didn't want to give redundant testimony. So I'm here for any questions you may have, and I wanted to urge your support for Senate Bill 859. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Gary Bauer with Northwest Natural. Appreciate the opportunity to testify this afternoon. This is a little short-term fix to an issue we've been talking to the folks at ODOT about for a few years now. Quick background on it is that for years, utilities have been able to place their facilities in the right-of-way along state highways. We obtained a permit from ODOT and basically did this without paying any permit fees. There was a statute, and there continues to be a statute on the book, that allows utilities to place their facilities on the right-of-way free of charge. However, in 2001, the Attorney General's Office did a review of a number of activities that ODOT was performing to determine whether or not they were the way they paid for those activities met various legal criteria. We got caught up in that, and one of the findings of the Attorney General's office was that ODOT could not issue permits to utilities without collecting for it. They couldn't use the funds that they received, which were highway dollar funds, gas tax revenues, to issue a permit. So we worked out an agreement with ODOT to go ahead, charge permits, but we also agreed that there may be some activities that should rightfully be paid for by ODOT. I'll give you an example, because the reason for the extension here is that we do have a case that has been argued in front of the Supreme Court, but we don't have an answer yet. And that is that among the permits that we're charged for is that when ODOT decides to widen a road, a utility often has to go in and move their facilities. Well, we're now required to go and take out a permit and pay a fee to move our facilities as a result of the Highway Department's project. And in some cases, those permit fees have actually exceeded the cost of moving the facilities based on the formulas. So we've all agreed that we need to rework the formulas and do some things. In the meantime, a couple of smaller telecommunications companies have challenged the whole issue as to whether or not those types of permits couldn't be issued without a fee associated with them. It's been argued in front of the Supreme Court. We're waiting for a decision, and what this bill simply does is just extend the sunset date out 2 years until we get an answer, and then we can come back if necessary and rework various statutes. ODOT is in favor of it. I told Ms. Plank I would pass that along, and I believe while none of the utilities like paying the fees, we also want to continue to be able to get permits, and so we've been told if we don't pay a fee, we don't get a permit. So that's why we're here. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Questions? No? Representative Thatcher.
Actually, I think my question was, if we don't extend the sunset, what happens? But apparently you just answered that in your last sentence, that you just don't get a permit. And then what? If you don't get a permit to move the utilities for your ODOT to widen the road, then...
Mr. Chair, Representative Thatcher, goes back to the fact that in order to do any work in the right-of-way, ODOT has to issue a permit. And so we're kind of caught in the circle. We recognize what you're saying, and that's kind of the basis for our discussions and argument, is that some projects, we believe, shouldn't require a utility to have to pay a permit when the project itself isn't generated by the utility. Which is, I think, what you're after.
Any further questions? Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Anyone else testify on Senate Bill 859? Close the public hearing on 859 and open a work session.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bruin.
I move Senate Bill 859 to the House floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Bruin moves Senate Bill 859 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Mike?
Representative Hunt?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Boone?
Excuse.
Representative Brewley?
Aye.
Representative Brewley?
Aye.
Chair Gilman?
Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair, might I also advise a consent on this as well?
I think so.
Same as the last one.
Representative Brewley moves that we place Senate Bill 859 on the consent calendar. Any discussion? Any opposition? So ordered. That concludes our business for today. Yes, Representative Hunt.
I would just like to point out for the sake of the record that we convened late again today and yet had our another very short hearing encouraging us in that precedent that we needed late.
Come late, stay early.
And I will point out, if we'd gotten to the last item on the agenda, we may not have been early. Thank you very much. Any of you that have a question on 2608, you're welcome to come talk to me after we finish here. More than two at a time. Meeting's adjourned.